I wish you a lot of fun with this talk of Katasha. Can you feel it?
High
energy in this room. Let's make a deep dive together. But before we can do that, we should do a little exercise to really manifest this high energy, to channel it. I'm going to demonstrate. Close your eyes. Become one with the cushion. Smell the person to your right, to your left. Feel inside you. Feel the disruptive energy, the agility. Breathe in through your nose. And when you breathe out through your nose, our mouth will form the holy mantra, Ram. And again, we breathe in, feel deep into our back end, and breathe out, Ram. And again, breathe in. Activate your spiritual processes. And again, Ram.
Sehr gut. High energy
in the Yeah, great. High energy in this room of chaos.
Yeah.
Dear participants, I am very happy that you applied to this free basic course. And I know you're here because you want to work on yourself. You want to play with the best, get towards new markets. Digital transformation starts inside on the subtle plane. And with a lot of overperformers from all the world, we have come together here to enter the next cyber dimension of value generation. Change management. Change management starts in the heart. And it's a fact. It wasn't easy for all of us. This is an image I've channeled specifically for this talk. It symbolizes the suffering we had to go through, recession, crisis, and in a lot of markets, also the IT market. But as a great wise man has said, problems are only thorny opportunities. And that's why we want to move into a deep dive together and look at the high energy emerging market that booms during crisis and takes advantage of that. A market with which we can grow, with which we can learn, and that is the esoteric scene. The esoteric scene has a bad reputation. But the esoteric industry is more than just tips how to use affirmations as passwords or problematic health tips on Telegram from a family. The esoteric industry is a market that's interesting for us because there we can see how great value extraction is possible with the investment of minimal energy. And one or the other of you might hesitate and say, I do not see myself at an esoteric fair in direct contact with customers. I can assure you, you can also do esoterics in home office. You don't always have to go the extra mile. You can stay home. And during the pandemic, a lot of spiritual healers have discovered that they have remote healing powers. And those remote healing powers require transfer of energy, and that is possible through PayPal and online payment services. This is another image I channeled. That could be you in the future. You can see your watch, you can see your car in the background, the yacht, and you have six fingers. We want to find out together what can we learn from the esoteric industry, and we will start with a very big segment of that industry, which would be, well, you could say fortune telling, but I would like to say digital feature forecasting. And here, you have to say it has a bad reputation for a good reason. Nowadays, we have a lot of better opportunities using AI, thanks to the statistic that I've channeled. You can see the curve of my demand forecast measured by the degree of the fuckedness of the world. And you can see there is a potential. If you ask yourself where we are, we're here. The problematic thing about this graph is it ends with 100%. Looking at the situation currently, I'm not sure if maybe we need 110%. Maybe the nature of demand might change after 110%. Not sure if the people want to have those forecasts, but the esoteric industry is quite flexible. Let's move towards the content. We want to orient ourselves at the best of the best and come into the doing together. So let's look first a very prominent example of this industry who has inspired people far beyond his lifetime on the subtle plane, not just on the subtle plane, but also on the economic one. Rudolf Steiner wasn't just an esoteric leader, esotericist, he was also a famous keynote speaker. You think there are so many books with his name on it, he must have written a lot. But actually, he had 6,000 talks during his lifetime, and a lot of the writings and the books you can buy today in problematic online bookstores, those are transcripts of his minions who have written down his wise words. Rudolf Steiner gave talks about religion, philosophy, politics, philosophy, agriculture, and so on. And some of you might think, well, a Brecht of his time. But in fact, he was more. As an economist, I have to say, he had a very innovative marketing strategy for himself. Look, I don't know, have you ever seen anything? Rudolf Steiner didn't just see, he looked. Here's a quote. You know that all incidents that have happened are in some way noted down in a eternal chronicle, the Akasha Chronicles, in a matter that is much more subtle than all the matter that we know. He refers to Akasha Chronicles. That's something we can find again and again in different esoteric publications through different genres. And the Akasha Chronicles are kind of the idea that there is some Ur-knowledge, some basic knowledge, and you can only read it if you go to the subtle plane and access this data, and he had this access. He looked and let us know what he read, and as I said, that's a lot. But I have to curb you. I have to slow you down here. Well, it's slightly problematic. It's not a win-win situation. It's not that we can reap the low-hanging fruits here and use copy-paste. The concept has a problem. We have a dependency from one person. We could call it a guru. We could also call it one of the leading philosophers of our country, or somebody that created a new art, but it's a dependency that isn't good. We're all entrepreneurs. We're used to bring our pitches even when interrupted, but we actually want to settle down when we're 30 or 40 and have other people work for us. So the problem is problematic. It doesn't scale. If I'm not the only person that can channel this knowledge from the subtle planes, I cannot just retire. If I can't have my minions do that, the talks about payment could be difficult, but we can update that. What about an Akasha database? Or Akasha would be the perfect name for an AI. I can see you have some doubt. I can sense it. And you have to say, in the era of forecasting, the mistakes were made. If you look at this future scientist, Matthias Hawkes, he had the insight, according to several studies that he did, that the internet will not become a mass medium. Difficult. You can actually make a mistake here. It's a market for risk takers, but it doesn't have to be.
When we say that we don't want to take those economical risks alone, we can look at this from a scientific point of view. Esotericism and science, that's a contradiction in itself, but there's something called the Barnum effect. It's derived from Phineas Taylor Barnum, who was the owner of a freak show in New York. It was actually something like a theme park, and his motto was, there's something for everyone, for the whole family. You've got dancing geese, you've got a singing donkey, you've got a clown show, you've got theater, you've got a petting zoo for the children. So there's something for everyone. And this is the principle every horoscope works with, every personality quiz, and also in consulting, it's kind of a basic principle. And how well the Barnum effect works is shown in a scientific experiment conducted by a French philosopher, Michel Gauquin, who put up a newspaper ad, and he said, if you want, we can give you a personal horoscope. The only thing you have to give us is your birth date. So 150 people turned up, not surprising, or it surprises me that it isn't more people. There were 150 people who said, go ahead and send me my personalized horoscope. And they got something. Afterwards, they were asked how fitting this horoscope was to their personal problems and so on. More than 90% said that this was completely accurate, and they completely saw themselves in that. The problem was, it was actually a horoscope, yes, but and it was also done by a serious astrologist who worked with the birth date, but with the birth date of a French serial killer. So we can see great opportunities also in consulting, how do we approach that? The Barnum effect has four different factors. One, stressing positive characteristics. We all know it in direct contact, in conversation, we're totally committed to our customers and we really sugarcoat everything. You are proud of yourself, you're an independent thinker, and so on. Then criticism, that actually isn't criticism. You do criticize yourself, you're a perfectionist, stuff like that. Who isn't a perfectionist? So, and then we have vague and imprecise utterings. Sometimes your management style is very open and extroverted, and sometimes you're also introverted, cautious and timid. So, as I can see, everyone sees themselves reflected here. But now it's getting exciting. It's very important that we understand that's a central learning from cold reading as opposed to hot reading. Hot reading is you go to a conference and you approach a specific person and after the third schnapps you try to approach them and find out something about them to suggest that you understand them. It's often done in seances. In the 19th century, people got together with a medium, and the medium did some predictions, and the predictions were actually information that were collected in the conversation ahead of the seance by a member of staff of the startup, as you can call it. So, alluring to generic fear and worries, because we're all defined by the same big topics, death, health, love, your job, those are things that we are all concerned with. So if you make generic allusions, we all feel reflected. Change in management is a problem in many companies. It can be really shitty in the truest sense of the word. So greetings to all Twitter employees. A product launch always goes along with challenges. Now, you have to say, as a former user of a certain problematic network, I was happy to not only get direct feedback from Jesus, but also from Satan. But there's also events across industries that define us. So I also did some research. I went to Poland and went to a computer game museum where I found this older newspaper for gamers with the nice title KGB Secret Service. And it contained a cyber horoscope, and it used exactly those mechanisms. For example, there was, don't reach for the latest trends, your heart will make the correct choice. So always go with the mainstream. Don't let games discourage you because they're too fast and too difficult. What a deep insight. And of course, beware of parents who come into your room unannounced. Now you've tasted blood. Let's double click on that. We looked at whether you can automate this. I recently visited an esoteric fair, and I had my aura photographed. So as you can see, I'm a golden person. I'm a born leader. This was actually part of the PDF evaluation I got in my email. And this analysis had a lot of interesting information I didn't expect. For example, in all chakras, I'm either too energetic or not energetic enough. And now you read it, it doesn't look like that, does it? But, well, you hands-on. Don't stay mad, buy the following products. So I was advised to buy more than 1,000 euros in esoteric products to prevent my subtle undoing and losing touch with everything and everyone in my life. So it's especially exciting, this kind of marketing, one very highly priced product was unique from this one seller who also publishes his autobiography called Energized Plastic Plates. One of them was 100 euros, and I was advised to buy several of them to, I don't know, align my chakras or something. So some of you might think, well, isn't that illegal? Because especially in the health sector, it's very difficult to work with health claims. There was a disclaimer, however, that this is not a medical software, this is just for entertainment purposes. Oh well. I don't know if you feel entertained by promises such as your liver might fail next week, but, well, I was entertained. Let's come to the next big emerging market. Let's conflate our synergies and do healing instead of patching. What do I mean? If we look at where are the biggest market opportunities in the esoteric industry, homeopathy is very sexy. So you could ask yourself, why should I do that? Do so much intense work with the customer if I can just do it holistically, homeopathically. So let's do a short how-to globally. You have to understand the basic principles of homeopathy. They are based on Hahnemann, the founder of homeopathy, who had three basic principles. You have to look at illnesses holistically. It's not, it's all caused by spiritual causes. That's hardly measurable. And the second is, well, we can treat it by substances that we give you, but they can only be effective if we reduce them and shake them intensively, rhythmically. So, another marketing aspect, well, don't say it's stretched thin, say it's potented. Always talk about potency, especially in male-dominated areas. It's always good to talk about potency, especially with male-dominated fields. This is a very good slogan. Third,
now there's the question, what do we deliver? There's a similar principle on how to choose the medication for you. Something that gives the symptoms to a healthy person, that is supposed to be diluted down to heal the problem. Here's an example, a website that promises to do research into homeopathy, and against fear or shock, they recommend plutonium in high potency. And Just to say this very clearly, wording and marketing is everything in the internet. We want impact, impact, impact. What do we want? Impact, impact, impact. Yes. Here is a study of the Allensbach Institution. They looked at which percentage of the people of the population can say exactly how homeopathy is supposed to work. Those were only 17%. That means the majority of people who buy those products considers this natural healing. Herbs. There's something in it. Naturopathy. These are great numbers, a great potential. So how can we transmit that to other markets? In your friend circle who aren't exactly IT professionals, who can explain large language models? It's a big black box. It's somehow magical, and that's a large potential for marketing. I would recommend to use as many buzzwords as you can. There is a reason why quantum healing is one of the booming markets in esotericism. I can see here, but I can see here hesitation. I can feel it. If I promise healing, I somehow have to test that. There is a concept of a homeopathic study. You give something to people, like in a drug test, and then you ask them, how do you feel? Depending on the area, on the different variation, you also have them write down their dreams. And there's one product which was also given to the queen. It's called Murus. Murus Berliniensis. It's a piece of the Berlin Wall, but in high potency. What's that supposed to heal? Experts recommend it with problems with like distance from your loved ones, maybe separations. So I looked into the study what the participants have written in their so quote-unquote drug test. So, for instance, one wrote, during the test, I often felt that my inner world is enough. It's enough for me to live. I don't need anything else. I don't need to belong to the outer world. Another wrote, I had more interest in the German TV channels. And a third wanted to eat more peppered salami. But you might ask yourself, how do I deal with that? Actually, you should be asking, what's the basis of this concept? So let's learn from the best. And that's what we can see in this clip. Which advances did homeopathy achieve in the last few years? Michaela Geiger is the chairman of homeopathic institution. She needs to know. What are the milestones in homeopathy? What has changed in the last years? For us, there were developments for us. You look further in the clinical research, you have an impulse, you develop it further. But what is the concrete advancements? What has changed in what you do homeopathically? Well, actually, I think it's important to do basic research and to advance the non-molecularity principle. We look back on 200 years of development. What are the actual milestones? I think the science, we should develop it further, basic research, clinical research. It's a fact that demand is higher than ever, and in order to meet this demand, we actually have to continue, and there's always space to improve. A tip. Do not invest in marketing. Somebody did a test himself. He ate a bit of... The principle was developed by a self-test. He ate a bit of China bark, and it seemed to help his illness. And then he said, this is how it helps. But this principle cannot be proven. People ate China bark in large quantities, but they didn't get fever. So even bad results in research won't hinder you to develop a very successful product. But there will always be people in management, detractors, that will tell you that your change management process incurs some risk. But we can also learn in that area. First, I recommend you to consider that there might be a need to talk. We need to create processes for these, agile processes, who can meet this demand. First, the basic idea of homeopathy is that if it gets worse, it's called an initial aggravation, and the initial aggravation is necessary to get better. So if you take a homeopathic amount of ransomware in high potency, then the initial aggregation is the first step to get better. It's good news. The customer needs to walk out and say, good news, I'm happy. And also, think about it, we sell complementary security. That means you don't want to tell your customer not to use conventional concepts. It's just the sherry on top that's actually quite expensive, which you are offering. So if you wait enough, the other service provider might work miracles, which then you can claim for yourself. Complementary security. And if it doesn't work, don't worry. Problems are thorny opportunities. This is your opportunity for follow-ups. The person didn't do it right. They're not far enough advanced spiritually, so they need follow-up services. For instance, a manifestation of Ram or such like. But we have to say, as much as we can learn from homeopathy, there are limits. I'm not sure if you knew, but if you consume coffee alongside homeopathic treatments, that is not recommended. Some of the people in this industry say that coffee can be problematic, so I don't recommend to frame it this way in IT. But there are also other specifications which could be very interesting. Did you know that there is specific toothpaste that you should use while taking homeopathic medicine? There are homeopaths that say that normal toothpaste inhibits the impact of this medication. The inspired critic would say, well, we have to see this as a big opportunity to charge into new markets. You can develop new other products that are necessary for your product to work, and that's how you create your own supply chain of products. We call this vertical integration in IT. So we own the markets before and after us in the supply chain to monetize the whole supply chain. So you can you can offer products with the adjective magic, which aren't that ergonomic, that don't really give you the very high performance. But as long as the customer believes in it and feels good. Think about it. You're selling a feeling. That's the point. Let's get to another aspect that should inspire us all. Living networks, vital networks. enlivened networks. There's one area in esotericism which has high value extraction, which is everything to do with water. You could say water, what does it have to do with IT? But think about it. Server farms need to be cooled. And we want to learn from the best. So, for instance, we have here Grande as a brand. Grande sells water. Here you have a few bottles for 66 euro, which is quite a price. But that water can be used for up to 4 years. But the actual value extraction is not just the water. You sell devices to your customer so that they can enliven their own water. Then the animals drink enlivened water, the bread becomes better in the oven. Always work with testimonials. Studies are overrated. Take testimonials of happy customers. Get yourself a master, bachelor, whatever, who does a customer research, and then you sell this and say all the customers are very happy with this product, and then people read this, and else they would have to look at the fact that they're not very happy with their water. So now let's look at another aspect of marketing. The problem is we need a great origin story and a good brand ambassador. I'm going to read an excerpt from a magazine article that inspired me a lot. Within the 70s, the founder Johann Grande, who was a former truck driver and gas station owner, he had a vision of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ had a secret to tell for this devout man. It was necessary to re-enliven water in its long way from the fountainhead to your faucet, and then make it well tasting and alive again and energize it. Reach for the stars. A good brand ambassador is half of all you need. So why should Jesus talk about such mundane things? I don't know. It doesn't matter. There are other aspects of the water market which are quite attractive. Let me show you another framing, which is more pseudoscientific. Masaru Emoto is a self-proclaimed water scientist. Let me quote Wikipedia. Emoto studied political science, international relations in the City University of Yokohama. 1992, he got a PhD in Indian International Open University. This institution has been closed down by the police because they just sell titles against for money. So Emoto said, if I confront water with ideas, for instance, chaos, the water will absorb this chaos and become energized by it. He didn't work with chaos. He had other theses. He was warning against putting warning labels on cigarette packages, because that would add the actual damage into the cigarettes by just writing those words. You can learn another aspect from him. Always think of the next generation. Targeting of offspring customers. There is a children's book by him which shows different water crystals. For instance, this one that you can see was exposed to classical music, Tchaikovsky's Swan Lake, which is the story of a princess that was turned into a swan. However, on the other side, you can see mud, which was caused by heavy metal. You have to see there are first tries to explore this market with water that's in some way special.
Aber es ist noch viel Potenzial
but
da.
There is a lot of potential there still.
Generell, zum Abschluss zu kommen,
generally,
muss man sagen,
to close,
wenn wir uns den Esoterikmarkt anschauen, die stärkste
if we look at the, the market of esotericism, the biggest customer relation is achieved by sects.
What is the core of all this? They have to, you have to install an antivirus program in your customer. Zero trust always against the others. If you do that, you can get holistic wins. Upscaling. From this perspective, it's easy. So, for example, announce, I've developed a system that gives you sure success. As an entrepreneur, you are sure to become rich. Then offer trainings. That's really important. The basic training should always be free. For example, cyber astrology and AI karma training. But also make it a shared experience. Let people meditate together, chant something, make them feel like a community. But only after you've concluded this program, you can sell your product and also say that the product is rare because that motivates people extra. So this leads me to say, now complete the 42-step complete package. You can get cyber remote healing through a letterbox company, agile, subtle, legal advice for beginners, distributed denial of spirituality in. But I've got one more thing for you, the big cyber healing certificate made easy. Thank you so much.